It is good for us to be here. The subject I'm going to preach this morning is good for us to be here. Mark chapter number 9, we'll begin reading in verse number 1. And I want to look this morning, and it is good for us to be here. I sent that out to some people this week, the day that I got born again, just telling them about it. And I had one man ask me, said, if you'd not have got saved, do you know where you'd have been now? And I said, yeah, I'd be buried in some cemetery somewhere. Son, I couldn't live another day. I couldn't live another day. Hell was on me, boy. I'm telling you, I was living in hell. I was going through it. Everything in my life had come crashing down. The mountains that I had made, the things that I had done, all the things that I had thought I had built up started coming crashing down. And when I found myself in the county jail, locked up, didn't know what was going to take forth, you'd think that'd be enough to save a man, get him out. But you listen to me, that's not enough for a man to turn around and getting in trouble or getting locked up. That's not enough. There's people get locked up every day that gets back out and gets locked up again. But I walked into a little old country church not knowing that I would meet Jesus that night. But He had plans to go through that place that night. And I met the Master that night. And I want you to know it was good for me to be there. Whoever I'm talking to this morning, if you've not been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, I got good news for you. He's passing through this morning. And He's waiting on you this morning. Mark chapter number 9, beginning in verse number 1. It's good for us to be here. I ask you to stand as we reverence the reading of God's Word this morning. The Bible says, and He said unto them, that being Jesus, verily I say unto you, that there be some of them that stand here which shall not taste of death till they have seen the kingdom of God come with power. And after 6 days, Jesus taketh with Him Peter and James and John, and leadeth them up into a high mountain apart by themselves. And He was transfigured before them, and His raiment became shining exceeding white as snow, so as no fuller on earth can white them. And there appeared unto them Elias with Moses, and they were talking with Jesus. And Peter answered and said to Jesus, Master, it's good for us to be here. There it is. Let us make 3 tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elijah, or Elias. For he wist not what to say, for they were so afraid. And there was a cloud that overshadowed them, and a voice came out of the cloud, saying, This is my beloved Son, hear Him. And suddenly when they had looked round about, they saw no man anymore save Jesus only with themselves. And as they came down from the mountain, He charged them that they should tell no man what things they had seen till the Son of Man were risen from the dead. Our Father and our God, as we bow in Your presence this morning, Father, I am so, so thankful this morning that You saved my soul from a devil's hell. Father, I thank You, Father God, that You've done that in my life. And I thank You for the other believers that You've saved in this place. And Lord God, I pray this morning that they be a lost man, woman, boy, or girl that's sitting here this morning. I pray You let the Holy Ghost move on them and they get born again this morning and they'd know what it's about to be born again. Father, this morning I ask You to guard my throat and my thoughts. If they be any hindering spirits, I rebuke it in the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray this morning that You let this Scripture just flow so freely this morning. I pray that You illuminate my mind and loosen my tongue. I pray You let the Holy Ghost have all power this morning. Get me out of the way and let it do the job. Let it do the job. Let He do the job this morning, Father. Oh God, I love You and I thank You. I thank You for Calvary and I thank You for the blood. It's in Jesus' most holy, precious name. And all of God's people say it. Amen. You may be seated. Here when Peter come, Peter had made a statement. It is good for us to be here. Have you ever made a statement and you said, man, it's good for us to be here. It's good for us to be at this place. But you know, there's times in your lives and there's times in my life that I'd have never got invited to some places if it hadn't been for somebody else. If it hadn't been somebody else invited me to go to that place, I'd have never got to go there. But old Peter, James and John, they got invited to come to the Mount of Transfiguration. As I was studying reading this, I thought about a time that my wife had got a coupon in the mail. And as we read that coupon, it said that we could go to Birmingham and we could stay at the Ross Bridge. And I want you to know that place is about $500 a night, but we got a coupon for about $100 a night. And I told her, I said, baby, we ought to go up there. Hey, we deserve to have a good time. And hey, we deserve to go there and enjoy ourselves. Me, her, and Kaylee, we loaded up and we went. And when we pulled up, this guy come out and he was dressed a little bit better than I am. And he come out and he says, sir, I'll park your car. I'll park your car for you. And I said, how much do you get to park the car? He said, $16. I said, no, thank you. I'll park it myself. And as I pulled off, man, we was in a Chevy Cobalt and everybody around us, man, they was in Cadillacs and all kind of stuff, Corvettes. And I mean, everything under the sun. I knew I was not where I was supposed to be and I was in a different place. And that night we got up to the room and I had my Georgia boots and I had my swimming trunks and I had my wife beater. Y'all know what I'm talking about. And we was going to go down to the pool. And I thought about that. And Kaylee, she was a little bitty thing. And I told her, Brandy put on her cover up and I had on my Georgia boots with my shorts on and my wife beater. And Kaylee had her little float that was around her. And she said, Daddy, are you ready to go? And I said, baby, I'm ready to go swim. And we got on the elevator. I don't know how many floors it was. And from old Detroit, where I'm from. I said, I know exactly where the pool is. Brandy said, where's it at? I said, hit that B and that means the bottom and we'll get off and we'll go to the pool. Well, she hit the B and when we stepped out, we was in the ballroom. We was in the ballroom. Everybody was in their three-piece vest. I'm talking about they was to the T. And as I stepped out, we all stepped out. She said, get back on the elevator. Get back on. Get back on. Man, you're talking about feeling bad. There I was with my swimming trunks on and my Georgia boots. I just stepped back in there and she hit that button. And she said, I'm going to kill you. Hey, this morning... I want you to know it was good for us to be there, but I want you to know we wasn't there on our own will. We was there because we was invited by somebody else. And this morning I want to show you at what Jesus did. Hey, Jesus didn't talk to his disciples. And this morning I don't know who I'm talking to, but he does. And he's looking to invite somebody to either be saved or go a little bit further. And he told him he was going to take them to the mountain. Hey, this morning I don't know about you, but I know what it is to be on the mountaintop. I know what it is to be on the mountain of transfiguration. I know what it is to be with nobody but Jesus. Hey, when you look all around, all your friends you think you had, they're done scattered. All your old buddies, they're done gone. Hey, everybody that told you this and that, they're done got gone. And you look up, and the only body's left is Jesus. Hey, this morning you say, how do I get there, preacher? Hey, you won't get there on your own. Hey, you'll never go to the mountain on your own. The only way you'll go to the mountaintop is if Jesus invites you. Hey, this morning you just can't go on your own. Hey, you just can't be saved one day when you feel like it. Hey, friends, this morning the Holy Ghost of heaven has to draw that person. It has to draw them into that relationship. And this morning I got good news. When they got here in the book, look what it says in verse number 2. It says, and after 6 days, Jesus taketh with him Peter, James, and John. You said, preacher, where was the other 9? I don't know where the other 9 was, but I can tell you where the 3 was. They was with Jesus. They was right where Jesus would have them to be. And you say, why did they say it was good to be there? How did they get in a place that they knew it was good to be there? Number one this morning, because Jesus took them. That's just going to be simple this morning. They got to where they needed to be because Jesus took them there. This morning, if you need to get to a place that you see Jesus more clearly and you see Him like you've never seen Him before, you ask Him to take you there and He'll carry you there. And after 6 days, Jesus, He took with Him Peter and James and John. He took them to that place. You said, preacher, where did He carry them? He took them to the mountaintop. He took them on a mission. You know what? He done took James and John and they was the sons of thunder and He was leading them up that mountain. Hey, but He took old Peter. If you look back, back in Mark chapter number 8, He's done rebuked Peter because Peter said, hey Lord, you're not going to do this. And He rebuked him and He said, get behind thee, Satan. Hey, this morning I want you to know, anytime God's fixing to take you to a mountaintop, you be aware, oh Satan, He's going to try to sift you. But this morning they took Him to the mountain. He took Him on a mission and He took Him because He wanted them to have more. I ask you a question this morning. If Jesus wanted to take you to the mountaintop, would you go? Would you go to the mountain if he wanted to take you there? Maybe this morning, somebody in this room, you say, I just need to get a little higher. I need to go a little bit further. Hey, this morning, I want you to know, he took Peter, James, and John exactly where they needed to be. I want you to know, that mountaintop that they went to, it was going to last them for the rest of their life. I'll never forget that day on August 27, 2007. Friends, I want you to know, hey, when I got in that altar, I didn't go talk to the preacher. I bypassed him. Hey, you know why? Because the preacher done told me once before and I was okay. You listen to me this morning. There's not a preacher alive has any authority to tell you that you're okay. There's only one man that can judge your soul, judge your heart, and that is Jesus Christ. Amen. Hey, I want you to know this morning, I bypassed that preacher. I went straight to an old-timey altar and I got down there and I repented and asked Jesus to come into my life. You said, preacher, how long did it take you to get saved? Just like that, man, he come up on me. I was sincerely sick and tired of being sick and tired. And I got to that place in my life that he took me somewhere. Hey, I want you to know this morning, he is no respecter of persons. If he'll take me to that place, he'll take you to that place. Oh, but I see something else. He says that Jesus took them. He took them to that place. He took them to the mountain. He took them on a mission and he took them for more. But look in the same verse. And after 6 days, Jesus taketh with him Peter, James, and John. Not only did he take them, but he led them. You know what's wrong in the world we live in? People want to be taken, but they don't want to be led. They don't want to be led. Give them a position, they think they know it all. Give them a little bit of leadership, they think they know it all. They don't want to take that sincerely and let God lead them. This morning, I want you to get this. If you get nothing else, if you're a child of God this morning, you're going to have to let God lead you if you're ever going to get to the mountaintop. If you're ever going to get that experience in your life where it's just you and Jesus and you get up there and you can see Him like never before. I want you to get this. It said that Jesus led them. He led them to the mountaintop. And I want to give you this morning. He said He led them up into a high mountain apart. And I want you to oh my goodness, Jesus led them. Number one, he did not push them. He didn't push them. He led them. He led them. If he didn't push them, he led them. This morning, I want you to know, if I got to push you to do something, you'll quit doing it when I quit pushing. If I push you, come up here, Brother Brent. You're a good example. I'll use Brother Brent. Amen. And this morning, I want you to know, Brother Brent, come stand beside me. He said he didn't, when he led him, he didn't push him. Hey, you go do this. He didn't push him. He'd get tired of me to have hands on him every once in a while. He didn't push him. There's no something else he didn't do in the scripture, Brother Brent. He didn't beg him. He didn't beg him. Hey, I want you to come, and he wouldn't come. And then he got down, please come. He didn't beg him. When he took Peter, James, and John, he knew they was ready to go. He knew they was ready to go somewhere higher. He didn't push him. He didn't beg him, and he didn't bribe him. He didn't say, if you'll go, I'll give you all this. This morning, I want you to know, when you get saved, it ain't all roses. It ain't all peaches this morning. I want you to know you follow Jesus because you realize He died for you on Calvary. Amen. He said this morning. He took them and He led them. He didn't push them. He didn't beg them and He didn't bribe them. He led them. When somebody leads you, number one, I understand this, they are in front of you. If they're going to lead you, they got to be in front of you. This morning, is Jesus in front of you? Or do you got him behind you? When I read that text, he said that he led him because he was in front. Whoever leads you is in control, not you. Whoever leads me is in control, not me. Let me give you something else. He said, and after 6 days, he taketh them, Peter, James, and John, and leadeth them into a high mountain apart by themselves. I see that he was in front. I see that he was in control because he knew where to go. This morning, if you're looking where to go, get behind Jesus and let Him lead you. How does He know? Matthew 4:19, the Bible says, follow me. Follow me. And I will make you fishers of men. He didn't beg them. He didn't push them. And He didn't bribe them. You know what He said? Follow me. I wonder who I'm talking to in here this morning and say, man, it's good for us to be here. And you want to know how to get there. And He says, follow me. Follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. If you ain't fishing, you ain't following. If you ain't fishing, you ain't following. This morning, I want you to know when he starts talking about, I'm going to make you fishers of men. Oh, Peter, he knew what it was to be a fisherman. He knew what it was to fish. And he knew what it was when you go out and you fish. Not every time you go out, you're going to catch something. Not every time you're going to draw in a great multitude. But he knew this in his life, that he wanted to follow Jesus Christ. Because he knew what it was when he did catch something, how great it was. This morning, I don't know who I'm talking to this morning, but he said he taketh them and he leadeth them. He taketh them and he leadeth them. This morning, I want to ask you a question. Are you at a point in your life that you say, Lord God, take me. I'm at the end of me. Take me. Take me to that place. Take me to a place. I'm tired. I'm weary. And I want to be taken to that place. And when you get to that place, you said, take me. You say, Lord God, I want you to lead me. If you're going to take me, I want you to lead me. I want you to guide me. I want you to help me. I want you to do this in my life. And he said, not only will I take them, not only will I lead them, he said, but I'll change in front of them. Right here before his fish get good. He said, I'm going to change right in front of them. When you get to where you need to be with God and he's taken you to a place and he's led you there, he'll change before you. He won't be who you always thought he was. He won't be who you always thought he was. There'll be a change. This week, one thing my daughter does, if anything goes wrong, she hollers, Daddy! And you know what Daddy always does? I always run in there like something bad wrong. So the other night, she hollered, Daddy! I turn off in her room and she's got a big old room. Well, not big, but bigger than I had when I was a kid. I mean, it ain't big as this room. I don't want to get up here and confuse you. Be like the sound booth. That's how big it is. We're in the bed. And I woke up and I said, what's wrong? There's a spider. Like, we ain't looking at the spider. There's a spider. I'm like, where is the spider? I'm like, it can't hear you. Where's the spider? I said, how'd you notice that? She said, I was changing. I was changing and I seen it. I said, okay, what do you want me to do? She said, kill it. I went to read. She said, don't do it that way. It could bite you. I'm 200 plus pounds. That spider's littler than you, pinky nail. I'm not scared of that spider. So she hands me a high heel with a point on the end. She says, Daddy, get it with this. You said, where is this going, preacher? I'm supposed to give it to you. I reach up, I smash that spider, and it falls. She says, where's it at? Where's it at? We're on our hands and knees trying to find that spider at about 10 o'clock at night. Finally, we find it. Everybody's good and everything's good. The next morning, things change. And you change, and I do too. The next morning, Daddy! Get up. I'm like, what is it? Come here. And I go in there and she's standing on the scales. She's standing on the scales and she's smiling from ear to ear, just happy. Whoa, glory! And I'm like, that's how we talk around home. We just don't act this here. We just don't do this here. I'm not one way here. No. On that day in my life when he saved me, there was a change. Not only does he transfigure and change, I change. When he come inside of me, I can't live the same. I can't do the same. Drugs had to go. Pornography had to go. Alcohol had to go. All these things had to go because somebody bigger than me come inside of me. And I walk in that bathroom and she's like, Daddy! And I'm like, what is it, baby? I've lost 10 pounds overnight. I look at her and I'm like, hey, I'm not doubting her. She's lost 10 pounds overnight. I look at her and say, that's good. And then I look down, Brother Hagin. You make sure the change in your life is real and you ain't on a false scale. When Jesus changed the front for him, it wasn't false, it was real. I believe there's a lot of people is thinking when they get to heaven, my good and my bad, we're going to scale it. And if my good's good, I'm going to go on in. You won't go in on your goodness. It won't go in on what you put in the plate. You won't go in no other way but the blood of Jesus Christ. I don't like that preacher. Go find you a church that preaches something else. But we're going to stand on the blood of Jesus Christ. There's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. So I look in there and we're talking about a change. And man, I don't want to be the bearer of bad news, but I am the father. And I said, baby, you ain't lost 10 pounds. Yes, I have. There it is. There it is. I said, baby, that scale's sitting on the rug. Half of it's sitting on the rug. It ain't getting a good, accurate reading. And she gave me that. Y'all know how them daughters give them daddies that look. She looked at me like that. I said, let's move the scale. Hey, let's just move the scale and get back on. We moved the scale and she got back on. I said, now what did it say? You was right. This morning, I'm talking to somebody. God's giving you authority this morning to be here. It's good for you to be here that you hear this. It's good for you to hear to be here this morning. It's good for you to be here this morning. And he's given me authority to tell you that he's wanting to take this church, he's wanting to take these people, he's wanting to take every one of us to a higher plane. He's wanting to take us to somewhere higher. But the only way he's going to be able to take us is if we allow him to lead us and allow him to change right in front of us. Not what we've always thought Jesus was. He ain't all what you think he is. He's a whole lot more, amen? If I can get Jesus in here, I've missed the mark. If I can get him in here, I've missed the mark. He's a whole lot bigger than me. You know what? He's a whole lot bigger than me. If you say, I got all of Jesus I need, I got everything, I know everything about him, you have missed the mark. You see, well, I thought the Bible says he don't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Listen, his apparel changed. His appearance changed, but he is still Jesus. He is still Jesus. My daughter lost 10 pounds overnight. She was still Kaylee. You listen to me, I don't know what she'll go through in her life, but she'll still be Kaylee. She'll still be my daughter all the way through. And this morning, what I'm trying to tell you, there was a change that took place. And I want to show you this in the text this morning. The change that had took place. Jesus said he changed or he transfigured right before them. They seen his power. When them three went up, they seen his power and they seen his glory and exactly who he was. They had never seen him transfigure in the valley. Only on the mountain. They'd never seen him transfigure on the mountain, in the valley, only on the mountain. He said, preacher, I like running in the valley. You'll never see him transfigured till you get to the mountain. You'll never see him in his full glory and what you need to see till you get to the top of the mountain. They seen his power. They seen his purity. They seen how pure he really was. Look at verse number 3. And his raiment. Oh, Mark's having a time right here. The gospel writer Mark, he's having a time. He is having a time trying to describe what was seen. I don't even do a good job describing to you what happened on August 27, 2007 when he saved my soul. I can't tell you how bad I was. I can't tell you how wicked I was. I can't describe to you how nasty, how filthy, what kind of potty mouth I had. How I'd take the Lord's name in vain. And an old man at Hyster told me, he said, if you really knew God, you wouldn't use that word. And I'd get so mad at him every day. If I could tell you what happened, how bad, how filthy, how dirty. But I can't even describe to you how clean I felt when he changed my life. I can't describe. I can't put it in words. I try to do the best I can, but I can't tell you what it's like to have all your sin washed away. The court system still's got papers on me. People still got accusations against me. But I'm free. Amen. Nobody won't believe me because they wasn't on the mountain with me. A lot of people won't believe where you've been because they've not never been on the mountain. He says this morning that when he got there, he seen his power and his purity. And Mark says, I got a hard time describing this, boys, but I'm going to try. Verse number 3, in his raiment, his clothes that he had on. Boys, man, it was shining. Boys, it was shining. Y'all look at me right now, and I know I ain't much to look at. But if you could look inside me, where the blood of Jesus Christ has polished my soul, has shined my soul, Brother Eric Caruth, I'm talking about, put a polish on it. And his raiment became shining. Exceeding, more than the white that's on snow. He said, boys, I can't explain to you how pure this Jesus is. I can't explain to you how you can have depression, suicidal thoughts, anger, rage, malice, hatred, all this in your life, and kneel down at an old-timey altar and come up and be washed all that away. Boys, I can't explain to you. But he said his raiment became shining, exceedingly white as snow, so as no fuller on earth can white them. I can just hear Peter, James, and John when we come on down. And there appeared unto them Elijah and Moses, and they were talking with Jesus. And I can just imagine old Peter, James, and John. This ain't the Jesus that called us to follow him. This is a different Jesus. No, he just took you to another level. He's the same Jesus. He just took you to another level. I'm talking to somebody this morning that he's wanting to carry to another level. But you know why we don't want to go to another level? Because we don't want to change. I don't like change. I like what I'm doing. Don't bother me. I'm good. I'm saved and satisfied. That's what the other nine had going on. They didn't go to the top of the mountain either. You know who he took to the top of the mountain? Peter, James, and John. I'm talking to some preacher this morning. I'm talking to some deacon this morning, some Sunday school teacher this morning. He don't want you to sit where you're at. He's wanting to carry you to another level. I'm talking just to a regular saved person this morning. He that says, I want to carry you somewhere else. I want to carry you to a plane that you've never been to before. And he said, oh yeah, boy, it's me. Boys, it's me. But you finally got where you can see me just a little bit clearer. It's good for us to be here. Number one, because Jesus taketh them. Number two, Jesus leadeth them. Number three, Jesus changed right before them. Changed. My wife, we've been married 22 years, and she ain't the same woman I married. Now, she was beautiful back then. Don't get me wrong. Let me say, wouldn't have married her if she wouldn't. Don't laugh. Loosen up a little bit. But I told her yesterday, son, we was over at Dirt Cheap. Y'all know what I'm talking about. We hit three of them this weekend. Yeah. Low roller. Can't roll high. Low roller. Can't give 300, but I can get it for about 50 cents. I told her yesterday we come out of Dirt Cheap. I said, I tell you what, you sure was beautiful back then, but man, you are beautiful now. She's changed. I see her in a totally different light now. When I got saved 15 years ago, I don't see the same Jesus I seen that day. That day I seen the Jesus of Calvary. I did. I seen a lamb that had been slain. I don't see him that way much often no more. I seen the Jesus of glory. Seated at the right hand of the Father. No matter what I got going on or what goes on in my life, I'll never forget that mountaintop experience 15 years ago. I don't know how he can take an old boy been locked up. I don't know how he can take an old boy been manufacturing crystal meth. I don't know how he can take an old boy. I don't know. I can't tell you. I can't tell you. I don't know how you can take a boy like that and take that desire and throw it away and other people struggle the rest of their life. I can't tell you. I can't tell you how you take an alcoholic and deliver him. I can't tell you. But I can tell you this. That he took me that day just as I was. And he's led me. And he's changed me. Been saved 15 years. Been preaching the gospel for 13. I can't tell you why the change happened, but I can tell you who changed me. So why is it that way, preacher? Last point, we're going to go. Because he talked to me. First person ever in my life talked to me honestly, straightforward, in the way it needed to be. This morning it's good for us to be here. But if all you got was coming to church, you didn't get nothing. You didn't get nothing if all you got was just coming to church. I want to go to worship, don't you? I want, when I walk out of here, to know that I've been at the spout where the glory runs out. And I want to know he's talked to me. And he said that Peter had opened his mouth. Matthew 16, what Peter said? Jesus said, "Who do men say that I am?" Peter said, "Hey, you're the Son of the living God. You're God. You're Him. You're the man." He said, "Oh, Simon Bar-Jonah, flesh and blood ain't revealed this to you. My Father's revealed this to you." Peter done made one good remark in 16, and he comes over here to Mark chapter number 9, and he makes one of the stupidest things he could have ever said. Have you ever done that? Say something good, next moment it's just like, "Well, I can't believe I said that." And he said, "Lord, it's good for us to be here. Can we build three tabernacles? Can we build three?" Now, you done said, "I'm the one, Peter." Now you want to lift up some other man. Now you want to lift somebody else up. Set a cloud over us. Went over. And a voice came from heaven. Only though one more time voice came from heaven talking about Jesus is when he was baptized. And said the Spirit came down like a dove. I wonder who the Spirit's coming down on this morning like a dove. The Spirit won't hurt you. It won't harm you. It won't hinder you. You know what the Spirit of God will do? It'll love you. It'll love you. And he told Peter, James, and John this right here. He said, "This is my son, my beloved son, in whom I'm well pleased. Hear him." I want you to hear him. This morning, as your pastor, if there's anything I could ever get you to do, is I want you to hear what the Spirit says. This morning, I want you to hear what the Spirit says. And this morning he's saying to somebody, "You've been there way too long. Come on, let me lead you somewhere else. Let me show you something what God can do. Let me show you something. Let me take you somewhere. Let me lead you. Let me change you. You don't have to be that same person. And I'm going to talk with you." And he said this when he come off the mountain. He charged them this. He said, "Don't you tell nobody what you've seen or what you've heard on the mountaintop." And I read that. And I said, "Man, if I've been on the mountaintop, why would I want to tell everybody?" And God spoke to my spirit right here. And he said, "Because everybody in the valley can't handle what I told you on the mountaintop. Not everybody in the valley wants what's on the mountaintop. Not everybody that's on the lower plane wants what I got for them on the mountaintop." He said, "I charge you not to tell nobody." This morning, I'm curious this morning in my own heart, my own soul, my own mind, to get to that place where I can say it's good to be here and know how I got here. I've got here by the blood of Jesus Christ. This morning, if you've never been there, I'm going to give you a time of invitation. It's not my invitation, it's His. And I'm going to invite you to come. If you're lost, and you know this morning if you died, you'd spend eternity in the devil's hell. The Spirit's drawing you. Today's the day of salvation. Tonight, we're going to have baptisms. We'll have some baptisms tonight. And people are going to get baptized. As your pastor this morning, if you're in here and you've been saved, but you've never been baptized, you need to be baptized. Now, I ain't going to listen. That's the first act of obedience. Baptism. Saved, baptized. If he was baptized, then got saved, I got good news for you. You need to be baptized again. Because that first one was void and of no good. After we repent, then we're baptized. I bring that this morning because I really truly believe that there's somebody I'm talking to this morning, you know where you're at, and you're saying, "Lord Jesus, carry me to that mountaintop. Get me out of this valley that I'm in and carry me to the mountaintop." He said, and then they come down from the mountain. They had to come back down. There's going to be times in your life you're going to have to come off the mountain and get back in the valley. But every time I'm in the valley and old Satan wants to rear his head up, you know what I do? I remind him of that mountaintop experience that I had in my life. You know who wasn't at the mountaintop that day? Satan. He wasn't there. So he can't go back there. You know who goes back there? Me and Jesus. And I see him more clearly now than I've ever had. This morning, if you just need to get to the mountaintop in your life, why not come? Let him lead you. Let him change you. And let him talk to you. This morning, I want you to know, I'm not done. He's still changing me. He's still changing me. Every day he's changing me, changing me, changing me. And I'll never be where I need to be until that day I see him face to face. Father, I love you and I thank you. It's good for us to be here. But Lord, we got to know how to get here to that place where we see you change right before our face. Till we get to that place that you change right before us, Father. Lord, no longer do we see you, Father, as nothing more, nothing less but our Savior. That's all. That's what you are. But Lord, as we grow in you and we grow and we grow, Father, we see you in a whole totally different light. Not only are you our Savior, but you're the one that sustains us and you're the one that takes care of us. You're the one that guides us. As Brother Roy talked about this morning, you're the one we put our faith in. And if we try to do anything but just lean on you, we're a failure. Father, I pray this morning that somebody leans on you this morning during the time of invitation. Lord, I'll never forget that night I got saved. Not one person went to the altar that night by testimony of the pastor. But you knew. You knew I walked in lost and that I needed to be saved. And Father, this morning, you know who's walked in lost and you know who needs to be saved. And I beg you this morning in the name of Jesus Christ that you do all the work in this place. And we'll be so careful to give you the honor, the praise, and the glory in Jesus' holy, precious name. And all of God's people said, I ask you to stand.